Technology of Leadership. Section 2, Motives.
What is it that produces our behavior? Theorists agree that all behavior is caused, stimulated, or as we would say, motivated by something. We drink water because we're thirsty. We spend time with friends because we enjoy their company. We decide to take a job because we want a new challenge or greater prestige. This behavior is driven by what we know as a motive. When we talk about motives, we're not talking about the answer to whodunit. For our purposes, when we discuss motives, we're talking about our repetitive underlying thought processes. These thoughts, which we are usually not even aware of, are the why behind the way we act. They drive our behavior. Some people think a lot about their need to accomplish things of importance. They often would rather do it alone, if alone helps them meet their goals.
You know, I have an idea for a new software system that should streamline keeping track of our inventory.
Some people think about ways to seek and nurture social relationships.
We really need to form a softball team this summer. The company's never done that before, and, you know, getting together would be great.
Others think a lot on how they have impact on the greater good, be it a company or society.
I would really like it if our company would start a charitable foundation to help inner-city youth.
These thought processes or repetitive images in our minds are a powerful tool. They become our internal engine for accomplishment. To use a golf analogy, a golfer who hits 1,000 shots won't be as good as the one who hits 1,000,000 shots. The same holds true with mental imaging. If you think about something a lot, you prepare to do it. Mental practice creates better performance. To understand why a person acts a certain way, we need to discover their underlying concerns. We need to know these concerns because it naturally follows that these repetitive patterns of thinking lead to a person's behavior. Research can assist us in understanding these unconscious thoughts and how they direct people to behave in very different ways. We call this the technology of leadership. So what motivates your employees?
Everyone in this company is interested in only one thing. It's their paycheck.
Money for most people is a scorecard to measure success or failure. For some, it is the end-all and be-all. But while money can be a reinforcer, it is not a driver of behavior. A company's performance can't be predicted solely by looking at the average salary it pays its employees. It's more complicated than that. Things that are intrinsically fulfilling create more job satisfaction than just getting a bigger paycheck. For some, greater satisfaction comes from a job well done, or the friendships at work, or perhaps the opportunity for promotion. And there are jobs some people love so much, they do them for free. Remember, if someone is going to do something for a long time, they should have a stronger reason to do it than just the dollar. Think about the times in your own experience when you were driven to accomplish a goal. You were not driven by external forces, but because of something deep inside. When you acted on that internal need, you felt satisfied, content. Listen.
Okay, what I really want to do is get back into shape and run a marathon.
I think I have it in me someday to write the great American novel.
Today is the day I'm going to shoot under 80 for 18 holes.
Our behaviors have meaning to us. We behave the way we do because it satisfies something basic to us as individuals. And our behavior stems from that internal set of motivators. So what precisely is the definition of a motive? McClellan gives us specific language. A motive is a recurring concern towards a goal state, measured in fantasy, which drives, directs, and selects behavior. It'll be helpful for you to memorize that definition. State it again. A motive is a recurring concern towards a goal state, measured in fantasy, which drives, directs, and selects behavior. With that definition firmly in mind, let's break down the component parts of a motive. Motives are patterns of recurrent concerns. These patterns are reflected in the private dialogues we have when we are daydreaming or when our brain is on autopilot. Have you ever been so engrossed when driving that you can't remember precisely how you got to your destination? These private thoughts are consistent patterns you probably aren't even aware of. You are engrossed naturally in those reoccurring dialogues with yourself. These unconscious thoughts, which are patterned early in childhood, have a consistent theme or themes. Most of us typically have the same concerns over a long period of time. They can come in different settings and situations, but how we think and what we are concerned about remains fairly constant over time. Here's Brad Spencer.
Motives are at the core of our personality and are basic to who we are. Motives don't make us good or bad, nor do they dictate IQ. Motives simply explain the behavioral choices we make, which we find executives and managers want to be able to predict. I'm asked all the time, do motives change? The answer is they certainly can change. On the other hand, for the purposes of management perspectives, one's dominant motives can pretty much be considered fixed.
When we talk about motives, we're not referring to wants or desires or even preferences. We are talking about psychological needs. A physical need, food or oxygen, is obvious. Psychological needs are less obvious, but they too exert a powerful influence. And like physical needs, we spend a great deal of time and energy trying to satisfy them, either positively or negatively. Think for a moment how a drowning person might feel. The only thing they can think about is air, and they struggle to get it. Struggling to get psychological needs met creates the same dynamic. If we can't get these needs met immediately, we start to compensate. How productive can you be at the office if you don't have air? It may sound like a silly question, but that's what people truly experience. It's one reason for lack of productivity. If the environment consistently denies our needs, our self-esteem pays a price, and we wither. It's only when our psychological needs are met that we can function well. A key, then, for leadership emerges from this fact. People who find a way to get their psychological needs satisfied behave optimally. If their work environment and interactions with management provide them an opportunity to meet their needs, they thrive. To the manager, it looks like they're doing a good job, but to them, it feels satisfying. Motives are directed toward a goal. A motive is a recurring concern with a purpose. We want something to happen as a consequence of our concern. We want that something to create a feeling we like. We might say we want to feel good. We seek those situations that deliver those good feelings. But what makes us feel good may not make the person in the next cubicle feel good. Stated another way, people seek different goals based upon different motives, and the kinds of situations that deliver those good feelings differ between people with different motives. Consider this simple example using three different kinds of food: salad, lobster, and water.
What a good game of tennis! Hey, that last set alone took us an hour. I'm sunburned as well as sore.
Thanks for the lunch invitation, but I had a late breakfast today, and I probably wouldn't eat very much anyway.
Wasn't that terrific news about our new client? We worked hard to land him. I'm up for a celebration dinner.
In which scenario would a glass of water have been the best option? The light salad? The lobster dinner? It's pretty obvious, isn't it? Motives and feelings associated with them work in the same way. There are different motives that give us a sense of being satisfied. Research has identified over 20 motives that drive our behavior. Dr. McClellan isolated the three primary motives that are responsible for the vast majority of our social behavior. The three social motives that lead to patterns of behavior at work are the need for achievement, the need for affiliation, the need for power. The need for achievement is characterized by the need to outperform others, or meet or exceed a high internal or external standard of excellence, and a desire to innovate. The need for affiliation is characterized by having a strong desire to establish and maintain close relationships with others, or a concern to avoid disruption of relationships. The need for power is characterized by the desire to have influence over others or to be seen as having high status. People usually think spontaneously in terms of achievement, affiliation, or power, They think in these ways because the associated behavior leads to outcomes that are emotionally satisfying, but in different ways. And naturally, one motive often exists in some combination with the other two. Brad Spencer amplifies this for us.
This makes the model pretty complex. Each of these motives is present in each of us. They're present in varying degrees. The three motives are different, not better, not worse. Motives are needs, and we must satisfy them. Therefore, they're profound in their ability to shape our behaviors. The three social motives lead us to very different perspectives, very different worldviews, very different strengths, very different behavior patterns. And that's why they're so important for management to understand.
What is so critical to understand about motives is that people communicate their motivations in what they say and do all the time. It's not a secret. A person's everyday language and behavior provide a constant flow of information that can help you determine their motive. Finally, motives drive, direct, and select behavior. Drive means the intensity or the horsepower that gives us the energy to pursue a goal. For example, if one has a high affiliation motive, they are much more inclined to call people just to check in. Direct means the vector or direction to avoid conflict because it disrupts the relationship. Select means choosing behavior given the motive. Someone with a high power motive is more likely to select conflict as an influence method than one with a high affiliation need. Another way to understand motives is to differentiate between a motive and a value. Frequently, motives and values get confused. A value can be defined as anything that is important to you. It is a conscious, deliberate thought process that explicitly defines right or wrong. A value can predict short-term behavior, but it may or may not actually be satisfying. A motive, on the other hand, is satisfying. People take pleasure in doing it. Motives predict long-term behavior. We pursue motives because we intrinsically want to. We pursue values because we believe we should. For example, people may think power is bad, yet still have an intrinsic need to influence others. This obviously leads to internal dynamic tension. The conflict between a value such as, it's not nice to be competitive, and a motive such as, I need to be the best, is well documented. It's called the approach avoidance conflict. This conflict can lead a person to become immobilized.
If I'm a nice person and let others win, I may be doing the right thing, but I hate coming in second, so I won't even try.
This is the kind of resolution that is not at all uncommon to the tension between values and motives. But motives and values are not always necessarily at odds. When they are aligned, they can work powerfully together. One final point about motives and what motivation means. We don't really motivate other people. Motivation isn't the same thing as revving someone up. Motivation is the skill of inviting others to recognize the benefits of meeting their needs and the art of blending your organization's needs to those of your employees. In summary, motives tell us what we enjoy, what we're thinking about, and what we're trying to get satisfied. They are the inner patterns of thought that give us our innate strengths. Our thoughts precede behavior, and our behavior drives results.